Good, and this is the Safe House Church of Greensboro, North Carolina, where my name is Dr. P.D. Elliott, and I have the distinct honor and pleasure to serve as pastor over this part of the vineyard, where we are a hybrid church, and that hybrid in the sense that we're meeting one time a month, amen, during this pandemic time and during this time, and while we are still a church plant, and then we meet virtually all the other times, amen. We have virtual Bible study. I'm in the same format that you will find us in right now. You can go to our website and go to all our social media accounts and hope that this would be a blessing to you all. Amen. This week has been full of things. You all know if you've been just hiding somewhere or you have what I call the ostrich spirit that you put your head down in the sand and you don't hear or see nothing. Doesn't mean that the world is not changing around you. Doesn't mean things are not transpiring around us. And therefore, we always have to be prayerful. We have to be mindful and we have to be vigilant. And the things that are going on around us. And, I'm just grateful to God for all that he's done and that he continues to do for us. And as we go into God's word on this morning, hope everybody's well. Those went on vacation. Hope that you had a tremendous vacation. Amen. Hope that you really enjoyed yourself and had a great time. And those who are preparing to go on vacation, please be careful. Enjoy yourself. We do believe in vacationing. Do believe in spending time with your family. Amen. And those who have birthdays, I think on a birthday we might have this month is Preston. So my son Preston, he'll be hitting the ripe old age of 5, going on almost 55. Amen. And I thank you all, and I'm just grateful for God giving me a son. Never thought that was in the cards for me, and he saw fit that let me have one. So I'm grateful, and I do my best to raise him in the fear and admiration of God. So this morning I want to speak with you for a little bit on this morning. We want to go to the, I feel like I'm missing something. Oh, I want to give an honor to my wife, First Lady Ely. I hope God continue to bless and keep her and our family and all the members of the Safe House Church in the various capacities that you serve us. And I'm just grateful for each and every one of you. Without you, this operation would go as smooth as it does. And we thank you for your financial support here at Finding the Fish Ministries as we try to be good stewards of that which God has given us. All right, so let's move right into what I believe God has given us to share with you on today. All right, so I want to go to the book of, I just keep feeling like I'm forgetting something, you all. The podcast is running, everything is running, so I don't know. But anyway, let's go to the, I want to go with you to the book of, if you would belabor me a little bit for today. Let's see, let me get my stuff pulled up here. I want to go to the book of Genesis. We want to start in Genesis, the third chapter. I'll try to put it up. Well, Genesis, the third chapter, and we're going to read verses 1-7. I got several different passages I want to read to you all. I may not be yelling and screaming at you today. I may not be huffing and puffing today, but I want to be very clear. So I may be more in a teaching mode. So I want to be very clear. I want to be try to be articulate as possible. I want to be as direct as possible. But I also want this to be a penetrating word, to penetrate in your spirit so that you can understand best what say of the Lord. Amen. And then, we always work here we give the, that God gives what? The revelation here, right? We work off that framework that's slipping my mind at the moment that we can give the color commentation to this thing, but it's he that gives the increase. The spirit has to give you the interpretation of it. I can read it. I can present it. The word of God is what it is. Amen. And I can provide, like I said, the color commentary and fill in all the gaps, but it's God is what is spirit that interprets it inside of you. So we're just grateful to all of those on Facebook and all around those who make comments or whatever the case may be. Thank you for tuning in to the Safe House Church. All right, here we go. All right, so we're going to go to Genesis, the third chapter, and we want to start at verse number 1. I think I've given you time to get there, so I'll pull it up here on my screen. Oh, I thought I had it up. Give me 1 second. It's Genesis. We want chapter number 3. All right, Genesis number 3. And I want to read that first for you. All right, so let me switch the screen here. We should be good now. Wrong screen. Sorry about that, y'all. All right, here we go. Genesis, third chapter. Let me get your little zoom on that. Oh, we just love technology. allows us to do so many cool things. All right, let's see if I can get that just a little bit bigger for those who don't have the Bible, or you maybe you're watching on your phone. I didn't want it to do that. Okay. All right, I think we're not good there. Okay. All right, and it says this. Now the serpent was the more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, ye woman, have God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 3, it says, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God do knoweth that in the day ye eat of, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, little g gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Let's go over to Joshua, the 24th chapter. And I'm going to go to verse number 14. Joshua, the 24th chapter. And verse number 14. I'm going to start at 14. Joshua 24, chapter verse 14. And it says, we're going to go through 16. It says this. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods, little g, which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day which whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people of God answered and said, God forbid that we shall forsake the Lord to serve other gods. All right, I want you to turn with me to Luke. I'm trying to lay down the foundation, and then we'll take off. I want to Luke, the 22nd chapter, and we want to go to verse 39. Luke 22nd, 39. And it says this. And when he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in the agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as if it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. Last verse, and then we're going to get on here. Romans. I want you to turn with me to Romans, the book of Romans. And I hope that you all are writing these down. So these are some good verses you can read in your own time. Romans 12. And I just want number 2, verse 12 and number 2. And it says this. Let me scroll that up for you all. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Whew, this is heavy. This is going to be heavy. Will you all pray with me? Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, we want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this message, Lord Jesus, that we're about to give to your people, oh God. We thank you for what we're about to say, Lord Jesus, that which you're using us to say, Lord Jesus. Ask that your spirit, Lord Jesus, speak through us, oh God, that it not be us, but it be you speaking through us, oh God. You using us, oh God, that we just be channel your anointing, Lord, channel your blessings, channel your spirit, Lord Jesus, channel your love, Lord Jesus, to be able to help your people, oh God, Lord, to give them perspective, oh God, help them to understand, oh God. You go the way you want to go, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done, oh God, on earth as it is in heaven, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, and we love you. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Strengthen us and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So I will, if I had to use for a subject today, church, I want to talk to you a little bit from this subject that I believe God has given me is God gave one right, and that was choice. God gave one right. And that was choice. As we read through this Bible today and we read through the different scriptures, I started out with one of the oldest stories in the entire Bible is the Garden of Eden. We find there in the Garden of Eden is where everything starts to transpire. It's where we find that there was first disobedience. We find that this is where sin comes into the world. We find that this is where life was created. This is where we understand and know the will of God, and we understand God's purpose and will for our life. This is where we come to know him in a better way. This is where we come to understand and love him and go forth and what we have communication with him. There's the Bible say that they communicated with God there in the cool of the day. God just, his whole plan from the beginning was that he was going to be God, and we was going to be his children, and we was going to obey him, and he was going to take care of us for forever and ever in eternity. But he wanted us to love him because we loved him, and he gave us this thing called free will. What is free will? I'm glad that you asked. Free will is your ability to make your choices. Whether they're good choices or bad choices, sometimes they're good choices we make. Sometimes there are bad choices that we make. Sometimes there's choices that are indifferent. Sometimes there are choices we make that affect other people. And sometimes the choices affect not other people, but they affect other things and other situations and circumstance. And this is why God had things what in this perfect orchestra of how he wanted things to go. We call that God's what? God's will. God's will. God has a will. God has a plan. He has a way laid out that everything follows the way that he wants to follow. Why? Because he understands if I do something crazy, it's going to affect Rose. He understands if I withdraw over here, this is going to bother Felicia. He understands if I tell this lie over here, this is going to bother Sherelle. He understands if I move this way there, this is going to affect Francis's job, and this is going to affect Thomas's job. So what? Therefore, he has what? A perfect will that says that if you do what I ask you to do, if you do it the way I tell you to do it, that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who are called what? According to his purpose in righteousness. So if I follow his will, what happens is I still get what I need. I still get sometimes what I want, but what all things and everybody else get what they want too. But that was not good enough for us. In fact, it was so much not good enough for us. What we decided is that we knew better. So what it is, we find that in the garden, that the first thing that we deal with is what? This thing called temptation. What is temptation? I am so glad you asked. Let me give you the definition of temptation from Webster's Dictionary or Google University. It says that temptation is the desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. Mm-hmm. Second definition is a thing or course of action that attracts or tempts someone. Third situation is the tempting of Jesus by the devil, and according to Matthew 4. So what? Temptation is what? Our ability that what we have the ability to make some choices here, but there is some influence there, and we call this influence temptation. Mm-hmm. So temptation is based on this. So we find here that what the Bible tells us, when we started there in Genesis, that the devil was there, that he was a serpent, and he came in the form of a serpent, and he was subtle in what he did. He didn't do it overnight. He came in subtly and said, oh, we're going to do this. Oh, what about this? And what about that? And as his subtleness, he comes in and he has a conversation with Eve, and he convinces Eve that, look, if you eat these things, you're surely not going to die. But what he didn't tell her is that there will be a death, but there'll be a death from the separation of God. Because see, Eve didn't know anything. She didn't know, all she knew what she was told. That's why they didn't know they were even naked. So, you know, the more I think about it, and this is just me, and I'm just saying for me, I can't speak for anybody else, that makes it sense that the devil may have been some truth in there, but he didn't give 100% truth. See, that's the thing about the enemy. The enemy will just give you enough truth for you to kill yourself. Come on, if I'm talking good already. Look, see, the enemy will just give you just enough truth to kill yourself. He'll tell you that, yeah, that's Kool-Aid, but he didn't tell you it was 10% strychnine, and all you need is about 1% strychnine, and it's going to kill you. He didn't tell you that, yeah, the money was good, but it was going to work you so crazy that you were about to lose your mind, and you were about to lose your religion, you're going to lose your salvation, and lose your health. Oh, come on, somebody. He didn't tell you that other part. He didn't tell you that if you got with him, yeah, he was going to be this, and he was going to be that, or if you got with her, she was going to be this and be that, but they didn't tell you all the other things that come along with that. See, that's what the enemy do. He gives us half truths. So he gives you just enough truth to suck you in. He gives you just enough truth for you to walk into that thing and thinking all that glitters is gold. And what you find out, what you start to examine and you start to test it and you start to work on it, you find out that you didn't have gold. You find out what you had was pyrite. Come on, somebody. Because see, pyrite has a lot of the characteristics of gold. It looks like gold. It shines like gold. It might even feel like gold. But when you put it under the fire, when you put it under the fire, what you find that when things are tested, when you put the test to it, you find out that it's not gold. And what we're finding out, brothers and sisters, that sometimes these things are what? They are not gold. So what the devil does is when he comes in and he gives Eve some half-truths. He said that you're not going to die. So what? She didn't die physically at that point, because what she didn't know what she did. She did die. So she didn't die instantly, because what? They were thinking she was going to die instantly. But she did die, because what? It was God's intention for none of us to die. Come on, somebody. Eternal life was here on earth. But when sin entered the world, the Bible says what? That the wages of sin is death, yet the gift of God is eternal life. So what we're doing is we're spending our time here in the earth circling back around to get towards eternal life. Because right now, this body going to die. This body is going to pay a price for what it's done. This body is going to pay a price for the things it did and the things that it's accountable for and the things that I've done in it. There is a body. This is a price to be paid in your body. Don't make no mistake about it. If you didn't do right by your body, if you didn't take care of your body, and I'm in that situation too, that there's some things that are going to occur in your body you got to deal with. If you overate for years and you didn't exercise for years, if you put yourself out there in the cold and you work in certain environments and all these things, there is something that's called a consequence. And we talk about accountability here. Mm-hmm. So what? That is what? A consequence in my body that I'm going to get as a result of that. But what we find here is that now what? Eve is going on this half-truth. So he tells her, well, you're not going to die, that you're going to be like gods, little g gods. We're not realizing that a little g god is nobody. What is a little g god? He ain't the ultimate god. He ain't got all power in his hand. So why even want to be it? But he does what? He goes through her through temptation that what? I want something that I know I shouldn't have. See, God has always given us this thing called choice. And all of us are tempted. The Bible tells us that all of us are tempted. All of us go through these things. All of us walk through temptation. But I have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. I've always had what? My ability to choose, because that's part of what God has given me is free will. And in his free will that he's given me, he wants me to love him freely. He doesn't want me to love him because I was forced to love him. I don't know about you, but how many of y'all want people to love you because they were forced to love you? Well, you want people just to love you for who you are. Do you want people just to love you because of what you bring to the table? Or do you want people just to want this because of what they can get out of you? Because we got enough of that stuff going on already. But God didn't want that. He don't want us to love him just because he's going to provide for us. But he wants to love him because we're just in love with him. He wants us to love him just because we care for him. We just want to love him because we have this intimacy of relationship with him, that I'm so much into him and he's so much into me that he has no choice but to be good to me. Because what? He wants to love me even more than I love him, and I want to please him. And in my way of pleasing him, and in my way of doing what he's called me to do, and in my way of going after him and going after his heart and trying to be like him, then what? He has this thing that he wants to please me more because he's well pleased pleased with me. And since he's well pleased with me, he allows things to come. He opens up doors. He opens up situations. He opens up blessings that what that he know that I can handle. For the Bible said that the blessings of God are yay and amen. Amen. That means he's not going to give me anything that's going to destroy me. That if it's coming my way, it's there for my good. It's there to make me better. It's there to make me stronger. It's there to make me wiser. It's there to make me build me up and help me to go to the next level and be who he want me to be and go where he want me to go and say what he want me to say and do what he want me to do and pray who he want me to pray and lead who he want me to lead and walk how he want me to walk and talk how he want me to talk. He has a thing what in each and everything that he has set up for us to go for. But it's up to you and I, and we still have this thing called choice. So Eve chooses to eat of the fruit. Come on, somebody. She chooses to eat of the fruit. Why? Because of the temptation that was influenced on her, and she fell to temptation. The temptation is not the sin. We all have temptation, but to stop and fall and yield to temptation is where we find ourselves at. It's when we get in trouble. All of us have evil thoughts. All of us have things that we want to do. Sometimes we say things we want to say. Sometimes we want to do things we shouldn't do. We all struggle with this. I do. When people do stupid and vile things to me. Last week, just when we left here at church, we were taking my kids just to go see a movie for Father's Day. I was going to hang out with my kids is what I like to do. And people just do stuff. And I had a guy on a motorcycle trying to make me hit him on the bike. Evil's everywhere. It's present. The temptation was there to run him over and say, he jumped in front of me. What was y'all going to do? It took every restraint bone in my body not to run over him when he was begging for me to do it. And literally, in some people's eyes, I might have been justified. But there's also what consequences for our actions. For everything we do, there is something else that is what to be paid. And are you willing to look at? So this is why we often teach here and we preach here at the Safe House Church. You better think before you act. Do not make actions in what? Emotional thinking. So now what? Eve goes here and Eve makes the mistake of what? Falling into temptation. And not only, watch this. Not only does she get into mess, but she brings somebody else into it. Yeah. Now her choice, because God is free will, her choice is influenced by somebody else's choice. Just like Satan had a choice. He had a choice to serve God, but Satan decided that he was going to be better than God. So he chose it. God has always given us choice. As you go on and we read the next scripture here, and I show you throughout the Bible that what? We went on and we was looking at what? Joshua. And Joshua, that it came to a time that Joshua, remember, Joshua had taken these... taking the children of Israel over the flood and they had gone into the promised land. And here they are getting into the promised land. And he's asking them, man, what they want to do. They want to bring their pagan gods. They want to bring the things of Egypt. They want to bring the things of old. They want to bring the things that they were struggling with. And he's telling them that you have a grand opportunity here. You have an opportunity that, what? Look how God has did for us. God has brought us out of Egypt. He's took us over the flood. He's brought us on this side. He's opened up doors and he's done this and he's done that. Yet you still want to worship your little G. Gods, you have a choice to make. What choice will you make? And he said, I don't know about the choice y'all gonna make, but for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. That's why we read that. Mm-hmm. That's what? A choice. Even Joshua had a choice. You always have a choice. It may not be the choice you want. It may not be the best options that you think, but you still have a choice. So then we go on and what we find, even Jesus Christ himself, God's only begotten son. What do we find? Jesus is there and Jesus is going into the garden and Jesus had just left the Mount of Olives. He just got through preaching to the people. He just coming into his own and he gets there and Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray because he knows there's a choice that he has to make. Jesus has to choose to go through the agony of the cross. So that you and I will have the choice to choose salvation. See how all these choices are predicated on other choices. What if Jesus did not choose the cross? He's God's son. He could have chose not to. But he chose, he freely laid his life down for you and I. He freely did that for you. He loved us so much that he made a decision. He made a choice. And that choice was that, what? I'm going to lay my life down so that what? Somebody else can live. God only gave us one choice. I mean, he only gave us one right, and that was our ability to choose. So what did Jesus do? Jesus was tempted of the devil. Why? Because he sits there and he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane that we read. And what does he do? He prays in the Garden of Gethsemane and tells God, say, Lord, if this doesn't have to be, please don't let it be. Because he already knows. In fact, what the writer Luke tells us, that he was in so much agony that he was sweating so hard that it was almost like blood. The other parts of the gospel that said he was sweating blood. Do you see what I'm saying? Can you imagine being in so much agony over a decision that you have to make that you sweat blood? I don't think none of us been there. But this is the choice that Jesus had to make. So just think about how different would your life be if he didn't choose to get on that cross? How different would your life be? In fact, you might not have your life, because the first time you did something, you could have been out of here. He had a choice. And he chose you and I. And I, for one, I'm grateful that he chose us. Because now we have the opportunity. Because what? The choices of Eve and Adam brought sin into the world. And their choice influences my choice. Because now I have to go, what? Instead of me just being born and having salvation and being good to go, I don't. I was born into sin. Because of their choice. And we came through their lineage, right? And now that choice, I have to make my choice. And we start talking about your will. I made a little illustration that I want to show you. And hopefully it comes out pretty good. We'll see. Illustration I want to show you all. And I want to explain this to you. Let me see if I can get it to come up here. I know I probably shouldn't wrote that in black. I'm sorry about that. Let's see if we can make this a little bigger. I want to explain this to you. Hopefully you can see it. All right. Y'all know the teacher in me got like diagrams. All right. So you have choice. So if you notice at the top of my diagram here, and I guess it'd be better if I look it on my page. I can't see it on the screen that well. I probably should have wrote that in yellow. I'm sorry for that. Y'all just was not thinking. Well, I was thinking, but I wasn't thinking, you know, that. So I should have wrote it in black. I mean, in blue. All right, so on the top of this chart, if you notice on the top of this chart, there's a word called choice. Now, your choice, let me see, I don't know if I can get my arrow to show up here, but just follow me. So your choice is, if you go straight down under choice, there's the word temptation. Your choice is affected by temptation. You always tempted. We're always going to be tempted. It's part of being in this part of life. You will have temptation. So where we struggle, if you look out to the right, I draw a little arrow out. Where we struggle is, we struggle with temptation, y'all. We don't necessarily struggle with the choice. It's the temptation to do what it is that we want to do, not necessarily what he's called us to do. Am I making sense to anybody today? All right? So, then from there, what you have from temptation, there is a choice being made. Either you can choose your will, you got God's will, or we have this piece in the middle that we call the permissive will. Let's talk about your will. So your will is influenced by how you yield to temptation. Your will is you doing exactly what you want to do without God's influence. Did you hear me? Your will is doing exactly what you want to do without God's influence. A lot of us follow our own will. Our own will. We get ourselves into things and situations and circumstances, and then we beg God to come help us. We beg God to transform us. We beg God to take us out of that situation, out of that circumstance. Okay? Then you have God's will. If you look on the, it's on my right. If you look on the right-hand side there, God's will. What is God's will? God's will is what? Exactly what he had laid out for you. He already know what you're going to do. Now, some people say, Peter, well, how is this free choice? If you already know what I'm going to do, because he's omnipotent, he's all seeing, he's all knowing. He's already been to the future and to the past. So he already knew what choices you were going to make. So he set up a will for you to make sure that way, that you make it if you choose to make it. Again, we have choice. What is God's will? God's will is what how everything works in harmony. God's will is that if I do God's will, that affects the what I do. I mean, it's going to affect what happens to Brother Haywood. It's going to affect what happens to Carolyn. It's going to affect what happens to Heather. Like, God's will for me to sit here and be preaching to you. If I didn't do this, then know what? It's going to affect God's will, because maybe you don't get it. Maybe you don't hear it this way. Maybe it's not brought to you in a way that, you know, it's digestible to you. Because others probably have preached and preached this and preached it maybe better. But you understand the way I talk. You understand my country vernacular. You just maybe just like me as an individual, and therefore you receive from me better. All these things matter. Therefore, I have to follow God's will. And God already knew that. He knew that this day was coming, that June the 26th was coming, and that I was going to teach this message or preach this message, and it was going to have influence on somebody. And they were going to be able to understand God's will from God's permissive will and God's and God's your will. And it was going to be make a difference to somebody in their life. So when they make decisions going forward in their life, when they think about it, say, well, how is temptation influencing my will? All right. Now, what's God's permissive will? Glad you asked. The permissive will is just basically God's grace on your choices. God has a will. God can just, what, at any point in time, he can just shut the thing down. If you're in sin and you're making bad choices, he can just shut you down. But we live in this thing called the dispensation of grace. And because we're living in the dispensation of grace, God has given us mercy. And I'm glad, somebody said hallelujah for mercy, because Peter needs all the mercy he can get. I'm sure you can use all the mercy you can get. You can use all the grace you can get. Because sometimes I think vile things. Sometimes I say vile stuff. Sometimes I want to do vile things. Sometimes I want to do vile things to maybe the other people. Come on, somebody. Am I knocking on somebody's door? Because you know what? They've done things to me that was not kind. They said things to me that wasn't kind. They tried to do things to my family that wasn't kind. And therefore, what? This man part in me rose up and wanted to deal with some folk. But God's will said, no, 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 no. Why? Because vengeance don't belong to you. It belongs to me. And I believe the reason I believe, now this is what, this is Elianism 101, that the reason I believe that God said vengeance is his, because we'll go overboard. Y'all ever seen somebody try to get revenge on somebody? What they'll do is, they only probably not only get revenge, but they'll do that and then some. We'll do it too much. We'll overdo it. I know we will. It's in our nature. But God is just, God knows exactly how much they need to be paid back for what they did. Therefore, he said, what? Vengeance is mine. Don't you worry about that. You take your hands off of it. Okay? So that's God's will. So we're talking about the permissive will. That's God's grace on our choice. He just gives us grace. So he's saying, okay, what do you mean? Give me an example of God's permissive will. You know, if you're having babies out of wedlock, that's not his will. But you're still here. He still loves you. He still saved you. He still brought you along. If you're having premarital sex, it's still his will. If you're walking in homosexuality, it's still not his will. But he's giving what? Permissive will. He's giving us grace to walk and what? Work these things out. Because he wants us in his perfect will. So if Eve never, watch this, follow the diagram. So if Eve's choice in the garden was not influenced by temptation, if she didn't fall to temptation, if Adam didn't fall to temptation, we would still be what? Absolute in God's perfect will. And we'd be God's perfect will. And what would happen? God's perfect will, you get, if you go right into God's will, what's under there? You get God's rewards for obeying. That's all God ever wanted us to do. He wanted us to obey him. Why? Because he had things in harmony. He had things already worked out. He had things that worked together. This is why I believe the Bible says all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who are what? Are called according to his purpose. So if you're called according to that purpose, there's a will, there's a plan for that. He already has that. And where you fit in that plan matters on your choice. And if you're in God's will, then you fit perfectly in that plan. And if you're perfectly fitting into that plan, then what? You move forward. Well, I know somebody's asked and said, Doc, how do we know God's perfect will? Glad you asked. We read that scripture. If you go back to Romans 12, remember we read Romans 12, Romans 12 and 2, for those who want to know, Romans 12 and 2, and it says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Why? Because you cannot do it the way they do it, because they're going to mess it up. Why? Because they ate up the tree. They have sin in their life. It's the sin line. So therefore, the sin line, that their thought patterns always going to be messed up. When you in sin, your thought patterns always messed up. When you in sin, you think you're doing okay. I don't believe in abortion. No, I don't. But I do believe that they have, that sinners do have the right to choose sin if they want to. Because if they don't have the right to choose sin, then they're going to try to tell you and I that we don't have the right to serve our God. Then what you going to do? Come on, somebody. Oh, tell the truth and shame the devil. It is what it is. You ain't got to like it, but this is where we are. So what? At the end of the day, what we're really dealing with is people's what? Choices. Mm-hmm. And their ability what? To choose right or wrong. And how do we really deal with that? Through temptation. The temptation that it's my will versus God's will. And which one would I choose? Because it says if I chose God's will and obey him, that what he has, he's just to reward us. That he has things for us. That he has stuff already set up for us. Mm-hmm. Now, what happened when you follow your will? Let's go back on the other side of my chart here. On the other side, if you follow God's will, what's the results of your choice? They usually don't end well. See, when you in your will, you are now responsible for your choice and the result of your choice. You are now responsible for the outcome, whether that's good or not. And sometimes, and most of the time, those things are so big, we can't control them. You don't believe me? Let me prove it to you. Go back to the garden. When we was in the Garden of Eden, right? What happened? The Bible said they ate, and when they ate, their eyes were open, and they realized that they were naked. And the first thing they did is what? They tried to make clothes for themselves to cover their nakedness. Think about that. Now think about it. They made showing their genitalia a bad thing, right? They did that through their eyes. Who knows? We don't know. Maybe we all walk around naked up in the heaven. I don't know. I'm looking forward to looking at it at some point in time, though, to getting there to see, okay, we here. Let's go worship God. Because it ain't going to be about that. He made the human body, and he made it beautiful, right? So with that, they went, what? They decided that this was a bad thing, and they made themselves clothes. Again, they made another choice. Mm-hmm. So now they made themselves covers and cover-ups. You know, sometimes I think about it as like, how do we know they even covered the right thing? Because you think about some of the nastiest things on the human body and not the things that we cover. It's the things that come out of our mouth. That tongue, the Bible talks about that tongue, right? It can get life, it can get death, it can raise one up, it can cut one down. Are y'all with me this morning? I know I'm not getting a lot of amens today, but I hope that this thing is penetrating your word. Maybe that's why you're not getting, I'm not getting a lot of those. But I won't looking for them anyway, because I brought them with me. Amen, amen, amen. So what did we find here? So all these things happened there in the garden. So there were choices being made all along. These choices. So you are responsible for your choice because it's your will. But when you're in God's will, he's responsible for the outcome of your choice. Did you get that? When you're in your will, you're responsible for the outcome of your choice. But when you're in God's will, he's responsible for the outcome of your choice. Now you're looking at it from that point of view. Now that I broke that down, which one would you rather be in? He's giving you the ability to choose. People choose to sin all the time. When the truth of the matter is, we need to legislate people's hearts. And you can't do that. The Bible tells us, reminds us, he said, in Ephesians, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and spiritual wickedness where in high places. Y'all, this means nothing to them. This stuff is in high places. Let me tell you, if people want to abort babies, they're going to find a way to do it, whether it's illegal or illegal. They'll go other places, they'll go other country, they'll do stuff, they're going to move from state to state, whatever the case they got to do, because people's hearts are bound. It's a heart issue based on what? Fall into temptation. And then falling away from that temptation, they chose their will over God's will. Because the Bible says this, it's God's will that no man be lost. That's what it said. It's God's will that no man be lost. However, we know in people choosing their will, there will be some people who will be lost. Let me finish explaining my chart. So then he goes on, there in the middle, the permissive will, right? That's, you know, like I said, God's grace on our choices. He didn't always like your choice, but he'll give you grace. Don't believe it? Let me give you an example. The Bible said that God hates divorce. And me personally, I do too, and I don't believe in it, and I hope I never have to know what it is. However, what he said he allowed Moses, come on somebody, that's the Bible. He allowed Moses to give them what? A petition of divorce. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of biblical argument and things about it afterwards, like, well, can you get remarried again and all this kind of stuff? And I'm not here to debate or get into that today, but I'm just going to rank what the word say. So Moses gave them what? The petition to divorce. And then they started doing divorce. There was a lot of things that God allowed, but it wasn't his will. His will is for us to be death to death do us part. But the heart of people out. So I'm not, now let me make it very clear. I'm not saying that God is giving his permissive will for you to have abort babies. No, I told you all, those are heart issues. I'm telling you here at the Safe House Church, we don't believe in that. You know, I don't even try to, you know, I don't even believe in politics. I just try to do what God tells us to do and do right by everybody. What is the right thing to do? And you know what? Me doing the right thing sometimes has cost me. It's cost me dearly. It's cost me sometimes my reputation. Sometimes it's costing me, you know, it's cost me a job. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I chose to do right in the face of wrong. And that don't make me a saint. It didn't put them wrong because I've got a lot of stuff in my life that I deal with. The things I've done, I'm not proud of. The situations I've been in that I've made those silly choices myself. However, his grace. And I'm constantly striving and fighting to do what? To be in the will of God. So what you see here, these three pieces, we're always fighting in between one of those three. Am I in my will? Am I in the permissive will that God allowed it? Or am I in God's perfect will? And what we want to be in, we want to be in God's perfect will. How many of you know you want to be in God's perfect will? That God has a perfect will for your life. And my goal is I'm striving to be in God's perfect will, not just his permissive will. His permissive will. So if you looked at the last piece of this chart that I want to explain, if you looked at his permissive, I mean, those wheels, right? Look there. Your will ends well. Rarely does it end well. Because you don't know. God knows everything. He knows the before, the end, the after, the beginning, the middle, all of it. So what you do, it rarely ends well. I'm not saying you don't get it right sometime. As they say, a broke clock is right two times a day, right? So you get it right every now and then, but your will. So you're doing your thing. You don't care about how your choices influence everybody else. You don't care how it influences your family. You just want what you want when you want it. You don't care how it influences the church body. You don't care how it do it. You just want what you want when you want it and how you want it. Therefore, you go after your will. And it's like, let me get mine. You know, this is the world mentality. Let me get mine before you get yours. Let me dog you before you dog me. And all this is whatever. So that's what? Trust in God. And God has been showing me that in my own life for a season that, you know what, Peter, don't worry. Payday coming after a while. They violate you. They use you. They scandalize your name, but just know that this is part of this walk. He said that what? Others would come after you. The others would say things. They would do things. That this is part of the life of a believer. But that he would vindicate us. That he would bless us. That he would keep us. And what? Because if you're in God's will, then he is responsible for the outcome. That's a tweetable. If you in God's will, he is responsible for the outcome. All right, so then what do we find? So then if you get in your permissive will, things usually come out okay, but they could be much better. Things come out okay, but they could be much better. You know, it's okay. I mean, you had to raise that child. You know, you made that choice and you raised that child as a single parent and that child turned out to be okay. And God loved you and he took care of you and he blessed you And, you know, you went to that city that God told you not to go to, and, you know, he loved you and he blessed you. You married that person he told you not to marry, but he loved you. You took the job he told you not to take, but he loved you and he blessed you. And, you know, this is all these things of God's permissive will. He told you not to go do this, or he told you not to go do that. Think about it. Think about it for yourself. There were things God told some of you not to do, and you did it anyway. And what did he do? He allowed it to be part of his permissive will. So he blessed you. He didn't bless you as much as you could have been blessed, but you got by. Mm-hmm. And he still loves you. Make no mistake about it. He loves you. Mm-hmm. Now let's move on over to the perfect will of God. He's responsible for the outcome, and it's always going to be the best outcome when it comes to him. So it won't be, you know, going down that same path, it won't be no baby out of wedlock. It'll be a baby in marriage that you have a loving husband or a loving wife, and you all will be able to raise this child together in the admiration of the Lord, and God is going to provide for you. He's going to open up doors and windows in heaven, and he's going to pour out a blessing that you don't have room to receive, and you're going to go to the next level, and you're going to do the next situation, the next circumstance, and you're going to go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. God, you know, you listen to God. He puts you in that job that, you know, he wants you to have. Then when he's going to bless you, he's going to open up the doors for you, and you're going to excel, and you're going to go to the top, and you're going to do well, and you're going to do what he called you to do, and you're going to move how he called you to move, and you're going to go where he called you to go. You're going to touch who he tell you to touch, and you're going to move who he called you to move. Mm-hmm. That's how that works. But it only works like that when you're in his perfect will. So my prayer is always being his perfect will. My prayer for the Safe House Church and my prayer for our congregation is that we always what? In his perfect will. Now, people ask me, oh, we can go out here and we can go buy a building. But I ask them, God, is this your perfect will for us? Because, Lord, I don't want to be up at night and say, oh, Lord, how are we going to pay the rent? Or are we going to enough for the light bill? What about this? What about the internet? What about that? All these things that I, as a pastor, would be worried about. Well, God's just saying, be cool, because we're in the middle of this. Just be cool. I got you. People are going to be okay. I'm loving on them. They're getting what they need. They're eating. This is a time of what? Them to build. Because at the end of the day, you got to know something for yourself. If they ask you, you got to be able to articulate that. If they ask you, you need to be able to explain that. You ain't got to put up the phone and say, I need to ask my pastor. No, you know. I'm just here to support you and say, you go on, baby. You go on, brother. You go on, sister. You do it. Are y'all with me today? And this is about your spiritual growth. Here, we don't have babies. God is raising up what? People and women of God that you be able to hold. Because what happens if one day it comes to the point that I can't do this? Meaning that we can't come on the internet and talk about God. Because when the rights start getting taken away, they start taking away everything else too. It's what they call a gateway. So yes, we still believe that these things are against God's word and his will. But we want to what? Be in his perfect will. So, and all this, if you notice here, on my diagram again, there's a circle that I can't show. There's a circle around all of this. And let's see if I can get that to show up here. There we go. Let's see. There's a circle around this whole thing. And this whole thing that I just got through explaining to you, that's what we call free will. So your free will encompasses all these different things, right? Your free will has what? It has the choice. Uh-huh. It has the temptation where we struggle. It has your will included in it. It has God's will. It has God's permissive will. It also has the results of your choice. It also has God's grace on our choices. It also has God's rewards for being distinct and obeying him. It also has what our end game, that what it really ends well if we just want to go on our own choices. But if we in his permissive will, that it's okay, but we could have been a lot better, a lot further along. And then if we follow God's will, that we're going to always get the best outcome. God's will is always the best outcome. And we call this what? Free choice. So God has always given us what? One right. And that was what? Our ability to choose. Do you not know you can choose salvation today? You can choose and say, Pastor, I heard what you said. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. If you want to be saved, I ask that you contact us here at the church. We'll meet you. We'll talk with you. We'll pray with you. You know, some say, well, you just believe in your heart and you be back. I mean, believe in your heart and your mind and forgive and you'll be saved. And the Bible says all those things, right? But also there's some other steps further, right? It said also, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Mm-hmm. Have you received water baptism? Have you been baptized for the forgiveness of your sin? And we want to be able to help you with that. Give us a call here at the church at 336-501-7552. 336-501-7552. We'll be more than glad to meet with you, baptize you, whatever the case may be, if you're here in the Greensboro locale, or you come to one of our services and we're setting it up. God wants you, and he wants you to make better choices in that what we follow his will. Now, some say, well, if you just follow his will all the time, then how is that nice? I'm telling you, God's will is great. Because that's what? The ultimate part, it's the ultimate situation for your life. So you can go ahead and just do your will. And you know, and you can ride on God's grace being in his permissive will. But if you go into his perfect will, you're going to get the optimal outcome always. God bless you all. I love you all. I hope that this message has found you and found you well, and that this has been food to your soul. There's something for you to chew on all week, that what we're fighting is what? Not just our choice, but really to fall into temptation in our choices. That I don't fall to temptation. This is why we even pray in the Lord's Prayer. Say what? Deliver us from keep us from evil and deliver us from temptation, right? It's there for a reason. Because it's not the choice. It's the temptation's influence on the choice. God bless you all. I love you all. I hope that you found this to be very helpful for you all today. We also want to go into the offering part of our service on today. If you found this to be helpful to you, would you bless us in offering? Here at the Safe House Church, we work off the donations of our members here. So members are those who would like to donate. We donate via the Cash App. You can do $SafeHouseChurchGSO. Again, that's $SafeHouseChurchGSO. Or you can do paypal.me/ministryaid. That's paypal.me/ministryaid. Or you can send us a check or money order via Find It Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina. 27358. Again, it's Find the Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. And the Bible says it like this. It says in St. Luke 6:3, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. God bless you all. Love you all. And anything that you give, we go right back to this ministry and to the help of this ministry going forward in the name of Jesus. God bless you all. Love you all. I hope that you found today's message to be not only inspiring, but also transformational and also full of truth and information to help you go along in your life. I love you all. I mean, it's the end with a prayer. Remember, throughout the week, we have our prayer service on the same link that you all on the Zoom. We pray every morning at 6 a.m. from 6 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. daily, Monday through Friday. Please join us there in prayer. Prayer is where we actually grow and we get confirmation and we hear from God. God bless you, take care. And I want to end with prayer. Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord, we come to you right now. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this word that was sent today. Lord, we thank you for this transformational word. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done with us, oh, God, and what you've done through us. Oh, God, bless your people. Continue to help them and keep them. Help them to grow, Lord Jesus, to be better, Lord Jesus. And know, Lord Jesus, that it's the choices that we make, oh, God, that we have to worry about, Lord Jesus, that you've given us choice, Lord Jesus. Despite what the Supreme Court said, Lord, despite what others want to do, Lord, we always have a choice, Lord Jesus, and we choose to serve you. And Lord, we're just grateful, Lord, and we love you, Lord. Ask you to touch each and every member of the Safe House Church. Take them, bring them safely, whatever it is they need to do. Hold them in the palm of thy hand like only you can, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name. We ask you to do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. I love you all. Take care, and I talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
skip is to have rhythm.
In the land of social media, for God is good and is good to be praised. We're so grateful to have all of you and those who decided to attend with us on this day, which is your second today. And this is why God had things up in this perfect orchestra. How he wanted to use it. It's going to score me that if it's coming out, then you have God's will. You look on the right hand side there, the God's will. Where is God's will? God's will is what? Exactly what he had laid out for you. He already knew what you were doing. Now, some people say, Bill, well, how is this free choice? If you already know what I mean, because he's omnipotent, he's all seen, he's all known. He's already been to the future and to the past. So he already knew what you were doing. He already knew. So he set up a will for you to make sure that, what? That you make it if you choose to make it. Again, we have a choice. What is God's will? God's will is what, how everything works in harmony. God's will is that if I make